In these series of podcasts that are based on informal conversations with Jeremy Crichton Herbert, child refugee, English schoolboy, dancer, actor, writer, director, and author, octogenarian Peter Brett reminisces about his eventful and unpredictable life that began in Vienna, Austria, between the two great wars. Episode 2. The time leading up to leaving Vienna for a new life in rural Norfolk.
How did it come about that you left, and why did you go to where you did eventually go to?
Well, that's interesting. I think it was my mother who could see what was coming, I think, probably more than my father. I don't know. But she had met or heard of something, this woman, Penelope, I can't think of her Christian name, who was a Quaker, who was in Vienna at that time, and she was arranging, I didn't come with the Kinder transport.
Right.
It was the Quakers who also did.
English,
yes, right. Yes. And she knew my guardian's family. But basically, and so, you know, my guardian, who is a spinster lady, educated, very, very nice, of this sort of, what are they? I mean, country gentry, hunting, shooting, fishing. Except there was always been, shall we say, an educated branch, you know, which she was part of, like Diana. She'd been to university a long time ago, obviously. And she was sort of politically aware, I guess, and she, you know, wanted to do something good.
Right.
So she said she would take two children, two boys, and presumably boys. Anyway, as it happened, she was myself and George. And presumably we'd just been picked out of photographs or something, you know. And George was also from Vienna, I think he's, again, much more middle class than us, me. I think his parents were, I think his father was a doctor or something. George and I didn't know him, obviously. We came across and by train through Holland and crossed to Harwich, and there we were, and, you know, and this lady came along and, you know, took us to Heddenham. Which is in Norfolk, yeah, on the Suffolk border near Bungay. And we went to Heddenham Hall, which is a wonderful old, huge building, huge old mishmash house. I mean, you know, by mishmash I say it goes way back probably the 1400s or something, added to on every time, so it's not one. I mean, there are floors which, you know, you go along and they have to go steps and you have to go up on their next floor, you know. They put us in the wing with the servants through the kitchen, and you had to go into the servants' wing, and there was a little sort of flat made for us.
Mm-hmm.
And there George and I were put in there.
Extraordinary.
And George was another monster.
Who was he?
Yes, he was a horrible guy. He was 13
and I
was 9.
Mm-hmm.
And he was a bully. Real nasty. A real nasty bully. And he was, you know, it was all his thing. We mustn't let them think we're, you know. I mean, I just kind of thought that they were rather nice, and it was quite interesting. I thought it was very exciting, basically. I mean, I used to get, you know, obviously I used to miss my parents and everything. But oh, this is great, interesting place, and all. And they had two or three maids who were probably only 18 or something, who were really nice, you know, and they would be nice to us, and make jokes with us and everything, and it was. You know, and then okay, we'd be taken through into the drawing room, and it was all sort of quite exciting. But he was very conscious that I wasn't aware of the caste thing. You see, it just didn't strike me in slightest. Mm-hmm. But he was very aware of it,
right.
And he would say, "Well, no, you don't have said that. You must, you know, you were, you know." And then he'd beat me up, and you know, it was awful. He was awful, but fortunately, he was sent away to boarding school very quickly, and then his parents had managed to get to America, and then he went to America.
How much English were you speaking at that time?
None.
No.
I never spoke with
it. So the jokes at the maids.
Well,
they were just kind of,
yeah,
it was all physical fun.
Yeah, but also I learned terribly quickly.
Right.
I mean, my guardian spoke German, some.
Right.
Not very much. I mean, you know, we'll come to her. But, I mean, she was an interesting, nice lady. I mean, she said, "You remember when, you know, when you first came over, we used to go for long walks and you'd be telling me all these stories about, you know, about Vienna and about going on holiday with your father and all the things like that." And I said, "Yes, I remember, Andreas. I used to never stop talking, didn't I?" And she said, "No, you didn't." She said, "I didn't understand." Which, of course, is, you know, perfectly understandable, you know. Yeah.
Tell me, how did the lead up to when you were going to leave Vienna to go to the UK, England, how was that kind of given to you? How you are made aware of, were there people marching in the streets? Was it a very dangerous situation? Did you know about that?
Well, yes, it was interesting. I mean, obviously I was aware of the Anschluss. I mean, you couldn't avoid it, you know, Ein Volk, Ein Reich, Ein Führer, you know, on the radio and everything like that.
Right.
But the point is, I had no personal awareness of it. Like, well, you know, when I, to the equivalent is, you know, obviously you don't remember because you weren't born, but in during the war, the Americans were quite glamorous. When the Americans first arrived, everybody thought, "Hey, wow, aren't they cool? They're not, you're nice jeeps and nice uniforms and all that." And that's what the Germans were like.
Okay.
They came in and they
brought their gifts. They brought their nylons with them, did they?
Well, I don't think they gave them too many nylons, but they probably did, you know, but it's not something I would have been aware of, you know what I mean?
Chocolates.
Or whatever. Yeah, I'm pretty sure they did, you know. You know, all these lovely, good-looking guys in nice uniforms, all smiling and saying, "Hey," you know, obviously.
Part of the plan? Was it the PR was part of the plan?
Oh, yeah, well, the Austrians were mad to be part of Germany.
They were.
Oh, yeah, I mean, people said the Austrians were the first victims. Absolute bullshit. And the Austrians were as fascistic as the Germans.
Okay.
And then, in fact, in terms of, you know, the Jewish side of it, there was much more anti-Semitism in Vienna than there was in Berlin. I mean, Berlin and all, it was very tolerant and everything. And then the Jews in Germany were much more integrated than they were in Vienna. Vienna had its sort of Jewish, well, obviously all classes, but its Jewish middle class and aristocracy, who were incredibly rich and ostentatious and probably not all that popular, you know what I mean?
Really?
And there was a lot of anti-Semitism. I mean, something I was completely unaware of. I had no awareness of it at all. And obviously I was shielded. It never occurred to me that my father was in any danger. I mean, my father was in the Navy, you know, he was a good guy, you know. Mm. Surely they got nothing against him, you know what I mean? So one did sort of come across slight things, and then it was complicated, because like this friend Tony, who I mentioned to him, because he was a German prisoner of war in Scotland, married a Scottish girl, eventually got in touch with me and we became great friends. This is, you know, many years later. And so I a lot of this information I got from him later. He was probably a Nazi, I don't know. I mean, it's so complex. I mean, like, for example, talking to Tony about it, he said, "What would have happened?" Oh, he said, "Oh, you'd have been fine." He said, "You know, you don't look Jewish, and you'd have joined up, you'd have been in Russia with me." He said, "Really?" He said, "Yeah, we had people, you know, we knew they were, you know, Jewish. But nobody really says anything like that." How true this is, I have no idea. But he was a poor boy, you know, like we were, he said, you were slightly incongruous, you, because your dad was a little bit more kind of upmarket than most people. He said, because, you know, it was, you know, working class friend. He said, but, I mean, his father was a drunk. And then he said, I had no shoes. I went barefoot at times, you know. He was a poor boy. So when he had a chance to join the army, you know, he said, the army became my family. He said, I joined the army. That was my family, you know. So, and similarly, when, you know, sort of jumping a little bit, I mean, the first job I had after leaving school and so on, I worked for a quantity surveyor. And I used in Yarmouth, near Yarmouth, a place called Galston. And I used to go by train down there, and I was on this building site for, I can't remember how long, a few months, you know, working with the surveyors, measuring up and so on. But that was just after the war, and they had German prisoners of war, digging the ditches, you know. Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. And I mean, I still spoke German at that time, some. And I mean, they didn't know, I would talk to them. And you know, and they were generally got on. It was very interesting that generally they got on really well with all the English labourers and everything. They were just joking and laughing, and just one or two. And I said, ah, they were all right. He said, well, you know. And I remember talking to them, you know, and they would all say, kein Partei, I wasn't in the party. You know, I wasn't in the party. No, I wasn't in the party. They weren't. That's another story, you know. But I would talk to them, and they say, yeah, but you don't know what it was like in the 20s and 30s. I remember talking to this one guy who was perhaps, you know, a little bit more. Well, he used to say, I shouldn't be here. I'm an officer, really, except in your, you know, we have a different way of classifying the officers. So I wasn't classified as an officer, so I'm here digging ditches. And he seemed to be quite an intelligent man, you know, and I'm talking. He said, people don't know what it was like in the 30s. He said, you know, it was so bad in Germany in the 20s and 30s. There was no work, there was nothing to do, you know, you had nothing, you were fighting. And then, you know, Hitler came in and suddenly it all changed. We had work, could have a radio, things were different, you could go on holiday, you know, social services, doctor, you know, free doctors. What were we going to do? Of course we went along with it. You know, we didn't know what it was going to do. We didn't know what it was going to turn into. We didn't know. I didn't know I was going to finish up here, you know. What do you say, you see? So it did. But, so I don't know about Austria. And, you know, all my friends and everything, they would make jokes. One actually reasonably funny, the joke that we used to go around. Oh, do you know the story about Goering? When he had to go, he had to go on a parade, and he couldn't find his medals. And he's saying, where are my medals? Where are my medals, he's saying, you know. And eventually, his manservant comes along and says, all right, Herr Reichsmarschall, I've got your medals. And he says, well, where did you find them? They're on your pyjamas. Quite funny. And that you know, that was all going around.
So as an eight-year-old, those jokes were going around, right?
Yeah.
So you watched people walking up the streets. Did you see knocking on doors? Did you see bad things
happening? No, that I was aware of. No.
Not what you were aware of at all. And yet, no. and then there came a moment, did there, when your mother said, you've got to go.
Well, she of course she didn't put it like that. She said, well, I think it'd be a good idea if you went to England and we'll come and join you very soon.
No, that's what she said.
You know.
And you said, fine.
I said, cool. You know? Yeah, great. You know?
And she'd been talking to the person for the Quakers, and so that's what happened.
Yeah.
So you got on the train in Vienna with George?
Yeah.
On your own?
No, there were a number of kids. Right. I don't know how many.
And then you travelled by train all the way to, where did you?
To, I'm not quite sure, we through Holland. I remember Holland really nice.
They were Harwich, did you, or something like that? You came into Harwich, did you come?
Yeah, Harwich, yeah. I remember being on the boat and then Harwich and then Aunt Joyce, she said, you can call me Aunt Joyce, you know, met us and drove us to Heaven.